Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, broadcasting live, unscripted, and unrehearsed from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on Voice of Vashon on 101.9 on the FM band and broadcasting and streaming live all over the world to Captain Joe's people all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today go out to two groups of people. The first one is to all of Captain Joe's people who are not with those with whom they would like to be during this holiday season. That makes it a very difficult time. And for me, of course, I have been surrounded by my people for the entire holiday season. And so I am hopeful that these words will remind you that you are not really alone, that you are surrounded by all of the people who listen to this broadcast, as do you. We've had to make some changes last week and the week before that. We were not able to archive the broadcast, and so two really good, great programs got lost forever. And so I'm going to repeat a couple of things today that I did on previous broadcasts, and at the same time add a couple of new things. So my second set of greetings go out to this wonderful and lovely group of people that I had for a book tour down at Point Robinson Lighthouse just a little bit earlier today. They are from a sea kayak club, and what is interesting about this group are twofold. First of all, that all of them are citizens of a certain age, and that means that they are people who have had some of the experiences of life and who continue to keep themselves engaged with the world, and in particular the maritime world, while they deal with whatever the trials and tribulations are of moving through life with some chronology added on. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that particular gathering a little bit later on in the program. But I just had a wonderful day with them, a wonderful morning with them. And the second part of it is that the organizer brought to me a message that I had sent to her some years ago. And in that message, I had told her that I had just had some surgery and that I was wearing a boot. I had taken a fall. This was some years ago. I had taken a fall. And it was, in fact, more than 5 years ago because it was before Mary's death. And that I was not able to be there with them for the gathering that they had planned, and that I hoped that we would get together. And so today was the getting together after all those years. It was just a lovely, lovely time with some lovely people with wonderful questions and comments and discussion, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. So the Binnacle List today has some people on it that have not been with me before on the Binnacle List. My friend John, J-O-N, in the Great Lakes. His entire family is now on the Binnacle List and is hopefully they're going to be off of it very quickly. And they should be reminded herein that by being a franchise member of the Binnacle List, that they are also the recipients of the concentrated energy of all of Captain Joe's people from all over the world to get better and back on full active duty. My daughter Lori continues to recover after having the unexpected knee surgery that we thought was going to not happen. It happened fairly quickly, and That tells me that something was going on that she and I have not yet had a chance to talk about, but her recovery is imminent. In my own situation, I have to report that I had a period with the black dog, what Churchill called the black dog. And that came coincidentally with the cancer drug kicking in with a very high level of fatigue in which I did essentially nothing for 2-3 days. And during this period, I was beginning to think that the Yalu River had decided to stop flowing and that I was going to have to exercise the training that I had received from the ever-lovely, my little Vietnamese RN, Vivian, who had trained me how to both put in and then take out a self-imposed version of Mr. Foley. Things were blocking up, and I was beginning to get concerned that I would have to do this, and I was really dreading it because it is neither fun nor is it particularly comfortable because it's not my skill. It is certainly hers, but not mine. Well, things opened up. The logjam broke, and my health improved dramatically after I took a 2-day lie-up. And at the same time, the Yalu River started to flow again, so I did not have to exercise my training, and now all is well. I have been unhappy about, but not as unhappy as Captain O'Brien, about their not being able to archive. We think we found what is the problem here with archiving our programs, and I now have 2-3 additional steps, and I am watching my voice display itself on a computer screen, so I know that we are at least recording in the on the memory of this particular computer. And now I have to end, when it comes time for me to end it, I have to end it correctly so that we don't lose all of this again. What I'm telling you is that it is now completely on your highly unskilled captain when it comes to working with computer and computer things. I was awakened this morning by Blossom and Sailor, and they woke me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, proclaiming that I needed to do something with their empty food bowls. A parenthetical insertion here, we had Sailor when Mary was still alive, and he would come at 3 o'clock with a request masked, and Mary and I would respond. He would get very insistent and persistent. And so I would respond, and Mary would wake up, and she would turn to me, and she would say, "Joseph." And when she called me Joseph, I knew that there was important business at hand. And she would say, "Joseph, you should not let him do that." And I would always say, this was one of those conversations that got repeated several times, I would always say, "But Mary R., he does not ever come to you. He always comes to me, and he will not quit. He will not give up until I fulfill his particular request." And she remained all the way for the rest of her life convinced that I was too eager to fulfill whatever it was that Sailor wanted, and I remain convinced that he just will not quit. And he starts off with the soft, gentle paw around my mouth area, and then if I don't pay any attention to him, he gets more insistent. And then finally, the claws come out just a little bit, and that tells me that this is serious business and I need to get my dead butt up out of the rack and take care of whatever it is that he wants. I always know what it is that he wants. End of parenthetical insertion. So this morning, about 3 o'clock, the two of them were at the down at my head latitude, and were telling me that their food bowl needed some attention. So I got up and went down and took care of that, and then I sat down in the captain's chair in the living room of captain's quarters. I bring all this up because it became a time for reflection, and particularly during the midwatch. The midwatch, of course, is the time of most darkness and most danger for ships at sea, and I seldom sleep through any midwatch. That's why any of Captain Joe's people who are going to call me on the telephone or send me a signal in some other way are free to do it during the midwatch, and I will always, if not answer up immediately, I will at least be aware of what it is that they are telling me. So I was sitting in the captain's chair, and it hit me right between the running lights that once again, I am indeed the most fortunate of men. I looked out the window. I have a big picture windows that look out over Puget Sound. And I looked across, and I could see that Brown's Point Light was watching properly, one white flash every 5 seconds. And I could see that buoy, what number is, what number buoy is that? I've got it here in my notes. I should have this one remembered, but in any case, it is the traffic separation scheme buoy number 3, and it has an amber flash every 4 seconds, and it is on station and watching properly. Well, Captain, how do you know that it's on station? I know it's on station because I have a range lined up where the over on the shore on the other side, if the range is lined up with the buoy, then I know that it's on station and I know that it's watching properly when it flashes one amber flash every 4 seconds and the buoy is indeed on station and watching properly. There was a container ship that was steaming slowly into Commencement Bay. Well, how do you know it was a container ship? Because she had her deck lights on all the way forward and all the way aft. If she had been a bulk carrier, there would have been no deck lights aft. And in fact, she was moving along at a very somber pace, which tells me that her captain and pilot were being particularly cautious during the night. And I am indeed all in favor of that. My house is warm. That's because the wood stove that keeps it warm was amply stoked. My two little furry shipmates had their early breakfast. I am under no illusions that they would not want a breakfast beyond that later on. And in fact, all was and is well in my world. All of the aids to navigation around me that I delude myself into thinking that I still command, all are watching properly, and it was just a great feeling. In my post had come very recently a card from my Fairbanks family. It was a New Year's card, and it had all of them lined up together, a Happy New Year's card. This is the family with whom I spent a good part of the pre-Christmas time in Buff for Buffalo, and then this card came with all of them together. It was all of this just warms the cockles of this captain's black heart. So, about my tour today. I had received a request some couple weeks ago from the tour organizers asking if they were, and they were staying in our houses out at Point Robinson, and I'm always hopeful that I can work into my schedule doing a tour for people who stay with us, because the income from that helps us to take care of the part of it that is the responsibility of the Vashon Park District. And I found that if I jiggled my schedule, as my Brit friends call it, their schedule, if I jiggled my schedule around a little bit this morning, I'd be able to do it. And so I met them this morning, and I was impressed right away by the fact that they keep their kayaks, sea kayaks, on the tops of their vehicles. And so I made sure that before they put the kayaks in the water, they take them off the tops of the vehicles. And I was assured that, in fact, they do. And then it became clear that this was a group of people who not only enjoyed each other, they enjoyed themselves, they were at ease with themselves, and they were very much at ease with the environment in which they have chosen to go to sea. I'm always skeptical of kayaks. The physics of them always seems to me to be a little bit out of balance, the center of gravity being somewhat higher than I'm accustomed to, but they obviously know what they're doing. And so it was a very enjoyable group of people to talk to. They were interested in all aspects of lighthouses. They were interested in island life. They were interested in some of my adventures. And they were very kind and very respectful of my pontification. I told the story of the traditions of the captain's chair because after I'd been standing up for a while, it became clear to me that I would be much more comfortable if I sat down in one of the chairs there. And so I designated one of them as the captain's chair, and I told some of the traditions of that. All of this is to tell you that if you feel that you are beyond the ability to do certain things that you did in your life, I'm here to tell you that it is quite possible that you are not giving yourself nearly enough credit. I've talked about this before. I hope that you will use me as your example of someone who refuses to acknowledge that the chronological number that I have attached to my life equals my level of disability. Now that Mr. Foley is moved on, and now that it becomes pretty clear to me that I probably am not ever going to have to do the execute the training program that Vivian gave me of self-insertion and self-removal, that my travels through the various airports of the world is much easier now, and I'm going to press myself even further. I'm looking at my first trip in January, and then I have a number of sessions of different kinds of medical madness during the rest of the month of January to make sure that all is continuing to flow, that the Yalu River continues to flow unimpeded, and that all of the other things, I have an oncology appointment later on as well. So I am planning a very aggressive and enthusiastic travel and work plan for the year 2026. 2 years after 26 is the year 2028. And a piece came to me. I'm going to talk about the replacement for the Navy's Constellation Frigate program. But before I do that, I have to acknowledge receipt of several wonderful articles from my friend Captain Ron, who sends me pieces from the Wall Street Journal, to which I do not personally subscribe, nor do I feel the need now that my dear captain friend is sending me all of this wonderful material. And he sent me material about in particular, the Chinese in the Arctic, and the Chinese in the Arctic are becoming ever more active. So this piece that came to me about the Constellation Frigate program was a statement, a press conference that included the Secretary of the Navy, a somewhat sycophantic person by the name of Phelan. And he announced that not only had the Navy canceled the Constellation frigate program, but that the replacement was going to be the Navy version of the National Security Cutter, the Weishi, the not Weishi class. Weishi is one of them. Bertolf class. Bertolf, Coast Guard Cutter Bertolf, is the lead ship in the class. And so the Navy is, first of all, this is a U.S.-built ship. It is a U.S.-designed ship. It is a proven design. It has long legs. It has wonderful seakeeping qualities. All of these things that are important to those of us who have gone to sea in Coast Guard cutters. It is important that we be able to stay at sea, and it is important that we be able to stay at sea in the highest sea states. So I am reminded once again of my much-loved Ingham. I have been in a typhoon in her. I have been in all kinds of weather in her. I have taken her into all sorts of places all over, in particular the Pacific. And during World War II, Ingham and her sisters were particularly sought after as convoy escorts because they did have long legs. So even though they are steam-powered ships and they need to get alongside an oiler for black oil as frequently as possible, the fact remains that they still had long legs compared to a Navy destroyer. The Arleigh Burkes do not have the kind of long legs that the Ingham class, the original Hamilton class, the Secretary class, that's what we call them, the Secretary class of ships. And they and although I refueled her as frequently as I could get alongside an oiler during the Vietnam period, the fact is that we could go for a long, long time without having to refuel. It is a smart decision on the part of the Navy to have adopted this particular class of ships, and I would not be surprised if we see our own, what we call the National Security Cutters, also now retrofitted with more in the way of a weapons suite. I would not be surprised to see them configured with an ASW suite, an any submarine warfare suite, for example. These ships have some stability headroom, they have some displacement headroom, and they have some interior space headroom. They're turning out to be, in fact, even though they are not particularly attractive-looking ships because of the tumble home, they are turning out to be very effective and efficient ships. And they are commanded by relatively senior Coast Guard people with a considerable amount, in most cases, a considerable amount of experience. That's where the Navy has fallen apart with a couple of the Burke class, Arleigh Burke class. Someday I will tell the Arleigh Burke story so that everybody will know why they are called that. Anyway, the Navy is going to build, and they are saying that they will have the first one finished in 2028. Be not surprised if, in order to make that happen, that they are going to have the sea trials and commissioning ceremony in early 2029, but that they will have a hull in the water and ready to go to sea for sea trials on the New Year's Eve celebration of 2028. In any case, I consider this to be a good decision, and I look forward to seeing sisters to the Berthoff class in painted in navy gray with navy hull numbers. But I will know what they are. They are our high endurance cutters of the Berthoff class. At the same time, this gentleman, Mr. Phelan, Secretary Phelan, announced that there would be battleships in the Trump class. I choose not to get into right now the subject of naming of ships and classes. However, the first one that I saw a picture of had the hull number of BBG-1. Now, BB is the battleship designation, and these ships are enormous, and they are incredibly expensive, and they are going to fill a huge amount of water. They're going to displace something like, not quite as close as an Iowa class, which came in, I think, at about 45,000 tons, maybe 35,000 tons. But these ships look like, first of all, I doubt that they will ever be built. No money has been appropriated for them. No money is in the next budget for even the beginning of the planning for them. I doubt that they will ever be built, and I can not think of what a mission for them would be, whereas for the Berthoff class frigates for the Navy, all kinds of missions exist for them. So that's my commentary right now on what the Navy is calling the Golden Fleet. And I'm not going to get into any of that anymore right now. The Arctic shipping lanes. There are a number of sanctioned vessels which are making the transit across what the Russians call the North Sea route, and some of them are getting stuck. Some of them need to turn around, but the Chinese in particular are using the North Sea route now and are going to be using it even more, which is all the more reason why it is important that we actually build the next class of ships for the Coast Guard, which they are calling the Arctic Security Cutters. Now, apparently money has been appropriated to build six of these. Two of them are going to be built in Finland in what I believe is the old Wärtsilä yard in Finland. And four of them are going to be built by Bollinger. Bollinger, yes. Well, we'll see how that part of it goes. But the ones that are going to be built in Finland look to me, I've seen an artist's version. They look to me to be about the same size as maybe a wind class, about the same capabilities as a wind class. And my big complaint with them is that they, looking at the artist's rendering, that they do not have open bridge wings. And to me, that is a vital thing to have for any icebreaker. I am told by my watch, my Omega is in Charlie status right now, so this is a different one. I am told by my watch that we have once again come, and far too soon, to the end of our time together for today. I will be back here next week, unless I'm traveling, in which case I will report to you from wherever it is that I happen to be. But in the meantime, The New Year's Eve, all hands take an even strain on New Year's Eve. Be careful. Be mindful of all around you And in any case, everybody have a wonderful and beginning of New Year's. This is your Captain Joe. Your Captain Joe, as always, I am on station and watching properly.